For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The Vic Porcelli Show.
Good morning, freedom lovers and Vic heads. How are you? Kenny? Ultra MAGA? America First? Vic head? What am I leaving out? Anything?
No.
Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Vic. It's Friday. Come on
it's
now.
It's Friday. Cats in the Hat's going.
Come on now.
I looked over my shoulder and saw with my two eyes a cat in a hat. What a pleasant surprise.
All right, look.
Okay.
Before we go.
All right, look, here we go. Are we ready, though? Or?
Before we go any further.
Okay.
What an amazing story Jen Wallner told this morning with you guys. And what is the name of Angels?
Angels Arms.
Angels
.org.
Arms. What an amazing foundation. What an amazing story that Jen Wallner has. I mean, you look at Jen, right? Very successful woman. Total Trump supporter. Has this realtor company that's doing great. I guarantee you there are people who say, oh, I bet she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. Right?
Yeah, right.
Foster home, went from a bad situation to a worse situation, you know, and now look at her. I mean, she is the personification of the American dream.
And that's the beautiful thing about Angel's Arms, that she has that wealth of knowledge to contribute to Angel's Arms, and they put people back together. They put families together.
Yeah, because she got separated from her siblings.
Yes.
And I heard her say that's one of the things is to keep the kids together. So, two amazing things that I learned this morning. Well, not that I learned. Two amazing things that came out of your radio speakers this morning. One being Jen Wallner's story. Second of all, the bikers are at it again.
Yeah. Yep.
Do I say that all the
you
time?
You say it all the time.
If there's ever a better bunch of people in this world, I don't know who they are, than bikers.
The Harley riders.
God! And Santa's going to ride in on a Harley. Are you kidding me?
Can we get started now?
Okay, start the show.
Hi, good night, everybody.
See, now we got to go. Now, have a good weekend, and I'll see you Monday. Okay. All right, coming up today, we have Mike. Our Christmas contest continues with another winner in our conservative Christmas contest. Jay Ashcroft, lots to talk to him about. He spoke in front of the United States Supreme Court since we talked last, so that'll be good. Susie Moore from Red State, Sir Paul Cook. We'll find out what's happening on the Paul Cook Talk Show this weekend, and we'll spin the wheel of audio clips at 10:41. All right. Let's get the show started with an old friend. Seems like years since we spoke to him. Don't know why that is, but Patrick Ismail, Director of Government Accountability at the Show Me Institute. Welcome back there, Patrick. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Vic?
Can you explain your absence to the show? What's the problem?
Oh, I've been on a secret mission.
Whatever.
But I can't tell you about it.
If you told me, you'd have to kill me, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, so 2023 legislative session coming up. Boy, we need some oversight there. You know what, Patrick? Just on a different note, when this session starts in like 2 weeks, I think, right? Or a month, about a month. If we blow a supermajority again and not keep not only the Democrats and the liberals under attack, but the people in our own party, I mean, what are you expecting out of this 2023 legislative session?
Well, you know, I've got my fingers crossed. So the legislative session starts on January 4th. And, of course, we had a special session that did some pretty significant income tax cuts. We're not expecting the individual income tax cut to come up again, at least this legislative session, because I think a lot of legislators feel like that issue is done for maybe a year or two. But that doesn't mean that there isn't other things that are before the legislature that might get done. Among them are things like a Missouri Parents' Bill of Rights, and your listeners may be familiar with the term, but it's the idea that parents should be able to see what's being taught to kids, you know, be able to be a part of their kids' education. That bill didn't get done last year. Hopefully it'll get done this year. I think it's possible we might see a cut in the corporate income tax. That was a subject of some interest during the special legislative session. It didn't get done. And there are a few other pieces of legislation that I am monitoring. But, you know, we also at the Institute released our annual blueprint. And what we have there is 16 ideas that we think would make Missouri better. We release it every single year. It includes discussions of school choice and a variety of other issues. But, you know, my fingers are crossed for this legislative session. And, you know, there are always surprises. But, you know, what's looking like will probably be front and center is education and then possibly corporate income tax cuts.
So I want to focus on the corporate income tax cuts here for just a second, because you know, people on the left look at corporate tax cuts as, you know, more loopholes for the rich to get richer. And they can't think two dimensionally that if you give corporate companies tax cuts, that gives them more money to create more jobs, right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And of course, there are lots of forms of businesses that, you know, are taxed in different ways. And the corporate income tax attaches to a certain kind of business, like C corps. But, you know, if you zoom out real briefly and you look at, you know, if we're trying to create growth in the state of Missouri to promote growth, what are the taxes that are the worst for that? And the answer is, first of all, income taxes are the worst for growth.
Right.
Sales taxes are better. Property taxes are better for purposes of growth. But among income taxes, corporate income taxes are the worst. And so to the extent that you can bring those rates down and you know, maybe widen how you calculate it so that you're not just taxing Missouri-based corporations.
Right.
You want to make changes along those lines. And right now, Missouri's rate is relatively low, but it can be lower. And ideally, we wouldn't have a tax like this at all. And I think that's, generally speaking, the direction that we're moving. Now, this is not a case where the corporate income tax is the only tax that legislators care about, and I think that, or the only tax that legislators want to bring down to, you know, bring down or bring down to zero. I think that's the general philosophical view now, even with the individual income tax, where the rate is dropping, you know, year after year, but they want to get it down to zero. I think that applies to the corporate income tax, and of course, corporations are composed of people. I mean, you can say that you're taxing a corporation, but that corporation is providing, you know, salaries to individuals. If you're taking money from corporations, just like you're taking away money from individuals, that means that those folks can't invest in themselves. And, you know, long term, that has negative consequences for economic growth. And it's not just, you know, a situation where it's all statistical. I mean, when you have lower growth, that means that you're decreasing the incentive for people to live in Missouri, to raise their kids in Missouri. There are consequences to lower growth. And unfortunately, Missouri has been kind of behind the eight ball on growth for the last three or four decades. Something has to change. And I'm thankful that the legislature has moved forward with income tax cuts to individuals. I think that a corporate income tax cut as well would help the growth situation.
And personal property tax, Patrick, I mean, when you move to a state that has personal property tax from a state that didn't, it's hard to comprehend what that's all about. Wait a minute. I already own this. Why do I got to pay tax on it again?
Well, and that's the tricky thing about property taxes in general, too, though, is that, you know, from our perspective, we usually talk about tax reform and tax policy from a perspective of growth. And so if you're trying to get rid of taxes, you're better off getting rid of the income tax first and the sales tax and then, you know, sitting with a property tax. But there are lots of different philosophical perspectives you can take. And another legitimate one is that property taxes are inherently kind of a requiring rent of people, and if you don't pay that rent, the state can take your property. That's kind of, you know, the philosophical objection to property taxes. Now, in the case of personal property taxes, it's even worse, because in a lot of cases, personal property can either be moved from a state, or it can, you know, you can kind of work around and not report the property that you have. And so you end up having, you know, the folks paying their taxes that, you know, are doing their civic duty because of personal property tax exists. But there is an injustice that sits around it. Among those injustices, that some people simply don't pay the tax, or they move that property outside the jurisdiction in ways that other people might not be able to do. Real property, you know, your house or whatever, you can't pick up like a brick and mortar house under normal circumstances and move it out of state. But with personal property, that's a lot easier. And I think that there's a lot of chicanery that can happen with personal property. And that's also why there's been a push on to move away from the personal property tax in Missouri. I think, frankly, I think that's a really great idea. I think, you know, there is something to be said for real property taxes from a growth perspective and maybe even a fairness perspective. But personal property taxes are very borderline, in my view, and a movement away from them, I think would be a good thing.
So do you mean people that, like, register their car in a different state and then drive it here? Is that one of the things that people get around?
Yeah, there are lots of ways that you can work around it. And, you know, I think we've seen stories about that. A lot of discussion about, you know, where is an airplane supposed to be paying its taxes, that sort of thing. The easiest solution there, though, is rather than trying to police that in ways that are it's almost impossible to police, you should probably just not tax that kind of property and think of a better and more efficient way of, and maybe more fair way of taxing taxing the public. Maybe it's just not taxing personal property tax.
Yeah, you know,
personal property.
You know that we talk to Nick Schroer every week, and he's going to start his senatorial career here on December on what was it on January 3rd.
January 4th.
And, Nick is going to be one of those rising stars, man, because that Parents' Bill of Rights is right up his street, you know, and there's many other things that we talk about on this show that he's going to fight for. So hopefully with him and his, the Federalist Four that are coming into the Senate, we'll do some good work. I'm hoping for it anyway. All right. Patrick Ismael, always great to have you on. We've missed you in these weeks on your secret governmental spying that you're doing on the Russians and the Chinese. So good to have you back, Director of Government Accountability at the Show Me Institute. Let's talk again, okay?
Absolutely. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. If I don't talk to you before then.
All right. Thanks, Patrick. Patrick Ismael. I don't know. I mean, he hadn't been on for quite a long time.
He had a lot to say, though.
He sure did.
You know?
Maybe it's good then. Maybe, get a revved up Patrick Ismael.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. All right. So look. A couple of things I want to talk about. One, I hope I can get through. First of all, again, the Jen Wallner story, just amazing. Sorry, can help me?
Angels Arms.
AngelsArms.org.
.org
is how you donate. And, you could donate materials, and stuff, or shirts and clothes and detergent and things like that. But, and you brought it out in this interview, that just given the money, they know what they need. When you asked her that, she was like, "Hey, we might not need a bunk bed this week." They need. Just give them money and let them go spend it on what the kids need.
And we know from past experiences of doing other charities that the people with the buying power, the ones who are doing the charities, and they actually get more for it than we would be able to.
And that was a great point you brought up. So Jen is an amazing story, from a foster kid to a very successful realtor. Okay, I want to talk about that. Then, our buddy Scotty, our veteran, our naval captain that he was, he put up a tweet yesterday, and I didn't realize it was him as I was doing it, or I just would have retweeted his to give him credit for it, but I got it from some other way, some weird kind of video thing that I didn't realize it was his. I wasn't even on Twitter. That's how I didn't realize it. So it's a video of a veteran, an old veteran, right?
I saw that.
And I'm just trying to figure out, he must be a Vietnam veteran, because this is why I say it, before you say anything, the flag's got 50 stars. So he's not a World War II vet, because this is an original flag. He said it's tattered and everything,
right?
And I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, let's see what war. Well, it couldn't have been World War II. It couldn't even been the Korean War, right? Because we didn't, was the early 50s, So it had to be a Vietnam vet. And he's in a wheelchair, and this soldier comes up and talks to him, and he sees the flag, and the soldier helps him fold it. You know that fold, that special fold where it comes out like a triangle,
Yeah.
And I was fine with the whole thing. I was great. And then the soldier stands and salutes him. And the guy salutes back. Ken, there's something about that salute that just does it to me.
Yeah.
The salute is what does it.
And then he hands him the flag.
And he hands him the flag. So watch that. I should have said who's coming up before I did that. Sorry. coming up, are we doing the Christmas thing that early? 9:25? I thought that was a 10 o'clock thing.
No, it doesn't have to be.
Okay,
It's wherever we can find a good spot
and
for it.
There it is. Next, as soon as we get back.
Yes, it is.
Jay Ashcroft, Missouri Secretary of State, coming up at 9:41. Susie Moore, thankful for UZQ, which is going to be her permanent name right now. You can't change your name as much as she thought you could. So it's good. We're thankful for her. Paul Cook from Paul Cook Talks at 10:25, and of course, the Wheel of Audio. Friday on 101.9, 94.1, News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Your
You're listening to The Vic Porcelli Show.
Never rat on your friends and always keep your mouth shut.
Made in St. Louis for St. Louis. It's News Talk STL.
Madam Secretary, I have to ask you this. If President Biden were to announce...
The one that we have here in the U.S. is pretty clear. In the United States, you get to say, as an American citizen, what you believe, period. And under no circumstances ever may the government infringe on that right, period. Again, that's the First Amendment. And thanks to the Twitter files revealed on Friday night, we know the First Amendment has been violated more profoundly than at any time in our lives. Miranda Devine of the New York Post has just reported the FBI met, quote, weekly with Twitter executives in the months before the 2020 election. And in those meetings, the FBI specifically warned about hack and leak operations by state actors that would involve Hunter Biden and would, quote, likely come out in October.
Oh.
He was the fact.
I know.
It's either oh or crazy laugh thing.
Yeah.
So the whole Twitter thing just got a whole bunch worse, okay? A whole bunch worse. So when you tweet something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're, you know, you're a sneech with the stars. You got the blue check mark, right? Because I think the blue check mark is the new Dr. Seuss sneeches with the stars upon thars. Remember right. that story?
Yeah.
And you're a conservative. And let's just say you got 50,000 followers on Twitter. By the way, I have 1,000. But you say something, you expect to get some action on that tweet. Oh, you have 50,000 followers.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
If guaranteed.
There's some of these bots that have zero followers. They've been on for a month. They got 50,000 tweets. You know it's a bot, and those get all the action, right? Because of the bot situation. And so if you're a big-time Twitter big shot, and you tweet something, and it doesn't get anywhere, and you wonder, now, why is that? How did nobody see this tweet? Well, now we know. Suppression on specific accounts on specific topics have all been shadow banned and throttled, word alert from you.
Yeah.
And now we know it's true because we were feeling paranoid, weren't we?
I wasn't feeling paranoid. I knew it was happening because it was happening to me and still is, Vic. I think Elon Musk has a long way to go to fix this too because it runs deep. These algorithms, they're hard to find. I mean, I don't know everything about this stuff. But mine, it's still happening to my account.
Is it?
I've determined that if there are two accounts that are trying to, you know, like for example, if someone, say you're being shadow banned.
Yeah.
And you've got something going on and you post something and then I go to like it and retweet it. And I'm being shadow banned. It goes nowhere.
Yeah.
It is just, I've experienced it before. I've clicked on the heart to like, it says one, and then it clicks up to 35, and then it goes back down to one.
Ken, you showed me that so long ago. You know, Ken actually made me walk around the thing. He goes, watch, look, I'm hitting like, and it's going the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, it's Twitter's secret blacklists, right? It's blacklists. Twitter employees built blacklists preventing disfavored tweets from trending, disfavored to the left, of course, and actively limiting the visibility of entire accounts or even trending topics. So it's not just a subject matter. It's who you are, if you're conservative or not, and it's certain trending topics. They won't let your tweet trend.
So me having in my profile name America First and Ultra MAGA, that doesn't help me?
You're done. You should put
I should put a bunch of big blue waves in there. Yeah. Like they have. You ever see those with you have the rainbow flags, the big blue waves, and of course you gotta include a bunch of Ukraine flags as well.
Of course you do. Now here's a suggestion to Elon Musk. Why don't you make a choice of one of those emojis, is that what they're called? Emojis.
Yes.
Another stupid word. God, I hate that word. That's a red wave, right?
Where is that red wave?
There is none. There is none.
No.
So do that, okay? Because I'm sick of the blue waves too. And it's so funny how you and I, we talked to a guy early on in the show, and he was from California, and he was a surfer, but he was a conservative, I don't really remember the story. Those are the three facts I remember.
Right.
And one of the things he had was that blue wave. And I said, this guy, I said, is this guy a limp?
Yes, you did.
Why are we having this guy on? Is he a liberal or what? And we even asked him at the end. I said, you're conservative, right? You're not a lib, right? She goes, no. I said, well, you got the blue wave. He goes, oh, that means I'm a surfer. I said, no, it means you're a lib. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
God, wake up. Twitter, this is now tweet number two from Barry Weiss, is the new deliverer of the Twitter files.
The new bad guy?
Well, woman.
Oh, okay.
B-A-R-I.
New bad person.
Bad person. Barry Weiss, not Barry White. If it were Barry White, he tweeted so and so. It's not that.
It's not that.
It's a woman who used to work for New York Times, got fed up with the bias, left the dark side, and came over to the good guy side. And she's a Substacker now. So her all these Twitter file stories are all on Substack.
Okay.
Which, I got to tell you, maybe you can teach me about that, because I don't understand it. I downloaded the Substack app on my phone,
and
there's nothing there. I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
So you got to teach me that.
All right.
Twitter once had a mission to give everyone the power to create and share ideas and information instantly without barriers. That was Jack's quote. That when Jack created Twitter, that was his quote.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, Jack? Didn't work out that way.
But that's probably why Jack left as well.
Well, I'm not sure about that, Ken. You're giving him too much credit, I think.
Really?
I think he left because he saw what was going to go on here and what was going to happen and what people were going to find out.
Oh.
I think when he found out what they were doing, he was like, holy hell, I am getting the heck out of here, you know?
Yeah.
Because he knew that all this was going to come down. Dr. Bhattacharya. Whew. I nailed that, I want you to know. Argued that COVID lockdown. Oh, God, here we go. COVID lockdowns would harm children. Twitter secretly placed him on a trends blacklist. So Dr. Bhattacharya from Stanford, the smartest of smart people, go to Stanford, right? And it immediately got trends blacklisted. So it would never trend.
Yeah.
That lockdowns would hurt children. Children.
So they decided over the health of children to blacklist somebody.
Or consider the popular talk show host Dan Bongino, who at one point was slapped with a search blacklist. You could not search Dan Bongino.
Wow.
They're the worst people in the world, I swear to God.
Yeah.
Try to figure the worst people in the world, and they're all Democrats, guaranteed.
Every one of them.
Twitter set the account of conservative activist Charlie Kirk to do not amplify. I'm not sure what that means.
Okay. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll say, okay, let's boost this post for this person because, you know, we want to, they're in Twitter and we want to boost their post. They may pay for it even.
To do what?
To be boosted, to be put in front of more people at once.
What the? Really?
Yeah.
You know, okay. I know I talk about my wife a lot. I'm sure you're sick of hearing about her, okay? But she's a very nice lady.
I'm never sick of hearing about her.
Well, that's just you and me. Okay. You know her. You know, you like her. You know, I love her, you know. But I can't tell you how long ago she had said over and over again, how is this trending? There's 1,000 tweets. How is this trending?
Oh, yeah.
She'd say it all the time.
Totally agree.
So she knew something was up.
Yeah.
But she didn't know. I mean, how can any of us know any of this until all this was released?
Well, we can assume it.
Yeah. And she was like, I don't understand. I don't understand how this trending works because this only has 1,000 tweets. And it used to piss her off.
You know what used to piss me off all the time was when Donald Trump would have, he would put out a post and it would get 500,000 tweets
or and yet
know, responses
trend.
And yet it wouldn't trend. And then you'd look over and you would see things about Kamala Harris or Joe Biden with 1,250
right,
responses,
right.
And it's trending.
Right.
That would make
now
me so
we know why.
Mad.
Now we know why.
Yep.
Twitter denied that it does such things, of course. In 2018, Twitter's what's her first name?
Vijaya.
So close. It's so close. Whatever her name is. She said, we do not shadow ban. We certainly don't shadow ban based on political viewpoints or ideology. Is she kidding me?
She's a big liar.
Did she ever testify in front of a committee?
I'm not sure.
I'd love to see that now.
Yeah, well, she's... Oh, well, let's just say this. The new Congress, she will be at least interviewed. Yeah. They've even flagged that. They said, look... They threw that balloon out there. They said, she's going to be questioned.
I hope so. I mean, there's 35 tweets from Barry Weiss. We can't get into all those right now.
Very, very wise.
So I tried to really accent the S, and you went there anyway, right? Barry Weiss. Not Barry White. If it were Barry White, I'd read all the tweets like this. You understand? But I'm not reading Barry White. Because I'm sure her voice does not sound like Barry White. So anyway, now we know. Jess, there you go. There's your answer. That's why years ago you said, why is this trend? Why is this topic trending? I don't understand.
Donald J. Trump.
That's right.
And Jessica Porcelli have been right about everything.
I actually said to her, I said, why don't you be Trump's running mate? You know what I did say to her? Something I found out this year, that you don't have to be in the House of Representatives to be the Speaker of the House.
No.
So I said, why don't you be the Speaker of the House? She just shut up. All right. Christmas music means I must be talking about something Christmas here, right? It's our conservative Christmas giveaway. All you have to do is go to our website. It's newstalkstl.com. You fill out the information there. You don't even have to call, even though that caller five stuff is fun, right? It's fun to have people on the air.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you hear your name and you want to call, you know, and talk to us, that's fine too. But Michael Ward is the winner of a pair of tickets to the St. Louis Aquarium at Union Station. Man, that is awesome. Kind of a terrible husband am I. I never brought my wife to the aquarium. She's probably got more fish in our living room that's in that aquarium.
That's terrible.
What's the matter with me? So congratulations, Michael. And hey, if you want to get in on all the fun, just go to Newstalk STL. Put your name, very basic information. And if we pick your name, we send you a Christmas present gift. So Michael, we'll be in touch with you on how you get your Christmas present from us. Newstalk STL. This is a fun, fun giveaway. I love it.
Oh, it's great.
Love it.
I love giving away stuff.
I love working at this radio station, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Ken, it's revived my life. It really has.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked in music radio for, I don't know, 38 years, 39 years. And now I really feel like I'm doing something. Is that weird?
Yes.
I mean, it seems a little bit more important to me than, hey, how you doing? 35 degrees this morning. Here's Eric Clapton on the Big Hit Show. And, I don't know. I just love it. I just love it. It has revived my life.
And it's probably saved my marriage because I would not. Now I don't go home and talk about politics. My wife says,
oh, but
shut up.
Talk about it here.
Right.
Yeah. I swear to God, the other night, whatever night it was, Tuesday night maybe, we were talking. I swear to God, I'm surprised the neighbors didn't call the police because we were yelling. So not at each other, mad at each other.
Right, right.
Just, you know, because my wife has this habit of a certain word in a sentence. If you hear her talk. So they were shadow banning. You know what I mean? Like, she'll be all soft and everything. And it was Jack who did it. It's so great. It's so great to listen to her yell and scream. And then she starts cleaning. When she gets all my just starts dusting and cleaning. Oh, my God. My house is an absolute comedy show. All right. Coming up at the end of the show today, the Wheel of Audio Clips. Paul Cook will tell us what's coming up this weekend on Paul Cook Talks. I listened to his show last week when he had Steve Schlanger on talking about the two St. Louis kids that were playing in the World Cup. And have you noticed all the World Cup stories have gone away since America's been knocked out?
Yeah.
You don't know anything about it?
No.
It's crazy. Susie Moore, Deputy Managing Editor, Red State at 10:05. And coming up next, it's Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home and Merry Christmas.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All right, good morning and welcome home to 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Vic Porcelli. That is Ken Williams. Paul Cook. I'm sorry, let's go back one step. Wheel of Audio Clips at 10:41. Paul Cook at 10:25. And the Deputy Managing Editor at Red State, Susie Moore. And the first thing we have to do when we get Susie on the phone is congratulate her, because her site had all the information that the other story that we were talking about didn't.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what it was. It was how long Paul Whelan's been in jail. The Fox News digital story had no indication of how long he's been in a Russian jail.
Yeah.
And Red State story had it. So, you know where I go to for my news in the morning first?
RedState.com.
I go to RedState.com. All right. Let's welcome our Secretary of State back to the show. He's been busy working for us. Secretary J. Armstrong, good morning. How are you?
Armstrong.
What did I say?
You said very well.
Armstrong. Did I say Armstrong? How are you doing? Wait a minute. We're supposed to have Stretch Armstrong on. What are you doing on the phone? What an idiot
really
I am.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I was looking for the stuff we were supposed to talk about. Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft on the phone. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I think you might have started a little bit early today, though.
Yes, that was our mistake. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. All right, so you've been in D.C. You've been all right. It's not that funny. Okay, let's move on to the actual conversation.
I thought it was funny.
Shut up!
Just beep him.
Yeah, really.
He already pounded me in the head with a ping pong ball this morning. See, if I'm looking down and I'm reading and he's trying to get my attention and he can't get it, I bought him a 6-pack of ping pong balls to throw at me to get my attention, and he whacked me right in the head with one today. So
he might have fun at that.
I enjoyed it.
If you want to watch that on the video, go to the streams. You can see that. All right. So, Mr. Secretary, you've been in D.C. working hard for us on the Moore versus Harper case. Okay, I'm not a political genius. What is Moore versus Harper?
Moore versus Harper is a redistricting case fighting about whether or not the legislature has control of the redistricting or the state court being able to override and redraw a new map that we saw happen in North Carolina. My concern was both of the people before the court, what they're saying is that Congress should have ultimate authority over our maps. The Constitution is very clear. The authority for redistricting belongs to the people, and I don't want the court taking that authority away from the people. The more authority we give Congress, the more we regret it.
And how do you think this is going to turn out?
Well, it's the federal government, so it won't turn out well. Sometime in June, we see a decision that makes no one happy. The North Carolina opinion was egregious. The North Carolina Supreme Court just said, you know what, we know how to write maps better than you do, so we're going to do that. That's inappropriate. But the plaintiffs, the individuals that were supporting the legislature, frankly, did not have a good day in oral arguments. I think there were probably at least five, maybe four, I would say five judges that wanted to find a way to restrict what the North Carolina Supreme Court had done. I don't think the arguments gave them much opportunity.
All right. Well, so you spoke to the Supreme Court, is that right?
I didn't speak to them yesterday. I filed a brief earlier in the process that was part of the record, and I do think parts of it were mentioned actually by the Justice Brown when she was talking about the 10th Amendment. But no, I wasn't the one actually up in front of them talking yesterday, 2 days ago.
Because as you file this, I would love to see the reaction of the newest Supreme Court member, Ketanji Jackson Brown. Not her name. Ketanji Brown Jackson. Sorry. All right.
Sorry.
She'll be easy to take care of. Don't worry about that. All right. So listen, when we're talking about elections, you're the guy to talk to about this. Okay. So this new Twitter dump, I'm sure you've seen it, right? Where certain accounts have been shadow banned to the point where their topics cannot trend. They can't be amplified. I believe now that we've had these two Twitter file dumps that Twitter has indeed affected the results of elections.
Clearly they did. What I've said before, and it's made people unhappy, is I've said that the largest purveyors of misinformation with regard to elections in recent history, probably the last 6-8 years, has been the federal government, and that's just been proven out. Our federal government was working with private companies like Twitter in in-kind contributions to campaigns to stop people from knowing the truth, from putting out false information so that they would vote the wrong way. It's abhorrent. It is against everything this country stands for, and the silence from our government about dealing with it and prosecuting and punishing people is deafening.
Yeah, but they've got all the false deflections going on, too, because Adam Schiff sent a couple of tweets to Elon Musk saying, oh, there's been more hate speech since you took over. And Elon's like, false. Here's the facts. What facts do you have, Adam Schiff, a guy who never tells the truth? And this morning, I woke up and saw that Kyrsten Sinema left the Democrat Party. She didn't completely flip, but hey, it's a step in the right direction.
You know, I don't know that I agree with her on much, but I think it's appropriate to lift up elected officials that actually seem to have values that they stand on, where they don't just flip with the wind. She has stood up against her party. She stood up against my party, too.
Yeah.
But I think she's being honest and saying, wait a minute, this is not the right direction. She didn't go to the Republicans for a chairmanship or some money or things like that. She didn't go to either party. She said, you know what? My party left me, and I kind of have to respect that.
So Do you know, I don't even know if you know this, but now that she is an independent and not a Republican or a Democrat, does that mean she'll still caucus with the party she just said she hated and left? Or will she caucus with the Republicans?
You know, I really don't know. Yeah, that's up to her. A lot of times they talk about Senator Sanders being an independent, and he says, well, I'm not a Democrat, I'm this and that. But he caucuses with them, so it actually means he is.
Right. And, you know, my dream, I had a dream the other night. This is not really true, but let's make believe it was true, okay? I had a dream the other night that Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin actually flipped and became Republicans, and we had the Senate, and we'd have, because when we talked to Newt Gingrich, Mr. Secretary, we were talking about Manchin, and I said, would he be a good Republican? He says, it doesn't matter. As long as we have the edge over the Democrats in seats, then we'd get those committee chairmen, you know, or chair people thing that we want. And I think that's a great point.
And we could stop egregious judges being nominated to the courts that don't care about the rule of law, that don't know the difference between a man and a woman, but are just there to make law and impose their political values on others through the judicial system. It would be greatly important. I can't see Joe Manchin, I can't see him jumping, because frankly, you have to have enough spine to be able to jump into the air and move to the other side. I don't see that in.
Good point. All right, so the Respect for Marriage Act, you know, can you set the record straight for us? What exactly is in there that the Democrats are saying that's in there, that's not in there, that's a bunch of lies? Can you just sort that out
for us? Yeah. The most simplest thing to say is that act does not make it so that same-sex couples can get married. It doesn't stop same-sex couples from getting married. They have that right. It's a constitutional right from the 2015 United States Supreme Court case. Statute cannot change that. Even the state constitution cannot change it. It's a lie to say that this is about whether or not same-sex people can get married. What really is happening here is they are enshrining into statute a private right of action, and for the United States Justice Department to be able to go after people whose deeply held religious beliefs are not what the government says they should be. That should scare everyone that has a belief. That should scare people that don't want to believe in God, because this sort of legislation, this sort of slippery slope, would allow the government to declare who you have to believe in, how you have to worship. That is terrible. It's wrong. It should never happen in this country. And I can't believe we're talking about it.
I'm sorry. I knew it would get you revved up, though, and I love a revved up Secretary of State.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I agree. And, you know, the media, right, we're going to lose this battle. I know we're going to lose this battle because the First Amendment gives them freedom of speech, and they don't have to be accurate, right? They can just say what they want, and that's how that Don't Say Gay bill thing came up, right? So can't we keep government at least accountable in what they say about these bills? Because it wasn't a Don't Say Gay bill. The word gay wasn't even in that Florida bill. This bill is not trying to prevent gay people from getting married. I mean, when's the truth ever going to be? Ever?
The truth will not come out until people can really be held liable for intentionally lying. And United States Supreme Court has made it almost impossible to go after someone for intentionally lying about a public figure. Now, they will say, oh, you can do it if they're intentional about it, but the ability to prove it beyond the limits that are required, until we can go after people for lying about public officials, we're never going to clean it up. That was a license by the Supreme Court to misdirect and mislead the people of this country, and we've been paying for it for decades.
Got time for one more question?
Sure.
Okay.
That was it, right?
What was it? No. One more after that. So I got to talk to you about this Brittany Griner thing, right? We bring home a basketball player for probably the worst human being in the world, right? The Merchant of Death. And we leave Paul Whelan in a Russian jail. What the hell, is going on?
You know, I mean, it seems like it would have been better to trade our president or a vice president for her. I think it's wrong that we left the United States Marine there. I think it's wrong that he's been there for years and we haven't done anything about it. But at the same time, anytime we can get an American out of a Russian prison, we should be thankful for that. So, look, I'm thankful that she's out of prison, but it is wrong. It's reprehensible that our government has allowed Whelan to be there for so long, that we haven't told
the Russians, they have to release him, that we haven't stood up for Americans. We need to stand up for all Americans, especially those that have put their lives on the line to serve our country.
Yep. Yep. And let me tell you, the big test is going to be she better stand her skinny ass up when they play the national anthem.
Yes, she won't.
I know. So you know what she did then? If she doesn't, send her back and get Waylon back.
Yeah, but, yeah.
That's what we do.
It's, you know, look, the Democrats have a history. We exchange prisoners for deserters. We leave Marines rotting away in prisons, and we get back basketball players that hate our country. I thought she didn't like our country. She sounded to me when she was over here, she'd rather be in Russia anyway.
Well, she should have stayed. She should have, you know, put her little pot plants in her little jail cell there and be happy. All right, Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, always great to have you, and we'll talk again next week, sir.
Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
You too. Boy, that marriage act thing got him revved up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I have to remember he's not mad at me. He's mad at the situation.
Well, that's the same way with you, the way you speak. You guys speak in a similar tone like that.
Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, oh, yeah, mm. Yeah. When you get riled up, I mean, you know, you in fact reminded me that it wasn't, I'm not mad at you. I'm like, I know you're not.
Right.
I get it.
Well, what was the girl's name we called about the Kevin Johnson thing? Meredith. She wanted my opinion on if he could have repentance for his act that he did. And I was yelling. I even had to stop there and say, Meredith, I'm not yelling at you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think, yeah. I hope she got that. But, you know, you have to have some kind of passion. And if the passion is in your voice, then the passion is in your voice, and that's it.
Yeah, Secretary Ashcroft, that's what I enjoy about listening to him when he's talking with you, is the fact that you both actually do have the passion, and it's sincere passion. There's a difference, too. I mean, you can have this feigned passion where, you know, a lot of these people, like Al Sharpton, for example, he gets passionate whenever he can get some money.
You mean Al Sharpton, who I saw in a picture shaking hands and smiling with Donald Trump?
Yes, that same one.
On Alveda King's Twitter feed, that guy?
Yes, that same one.
They're such hypocrites. Oh, my God, I can't even
think. I think that's why I brought his name up, because I saw that picture.
Yeah. So, you know, we got his take on Sinema. What do you think about Kyrsten Sinema coming? Don't want to misspeak. Leaving the Democrat Party.
Okay, so they're saying that it's not going to make that big of a difference as far as the numbers go. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
But when you talk about politics, you're always talking about the look. Okay? And the look is really telling about the Democrat Party right now.
And they got a bad look going on right now.
They always hit. We talk about it on a daily basis. We have for the last year and a half, Vic. People don't see that until they see something like this. You've got your average people working every day, right? You've got your plumbers who just go home. They watch the regular news on TV and see only what they want to give them.
Yeah.
But when they see something like someone switching from the Democrat to the Independent Party, that's something that's telling. And in politics, that means a lot.
So I'm reading the Fox News story now. When I woke up this morning and I read that Kyrsten Sinema left the Democrat Party, I was like, what? Now is it 50-49? You know what I mean? Did we just gain something there? And then she's an independent. Okay, well, yeah. But then I think when you're an independent, who you caucus with should be that party's seat. Right?
Yeah.
So she hasn't said whether she's going to caucus with the Democrats or the Republicans yet. If she caucuses with the Democrats, that she's just bad-mouthing here and why she left the party, what sense would that make?
Right.
Because if she's with the same idiots and liars that she's been with the whole time.
You know, that's a nuance that I'm not even familiar with.
I don't either.
But it's a great point. It's a very interesting point.
I think it's important, you know, because caucusing with the Democrats would be a big relief to that party, as it will give Schumer a 51-seat majority with the new Congress when they take office in January. Now, I can only assume by that sentence right there that if she caucuses with the Republicans, it would only be 50 seats.
That's what I would think.
50-50.
Yeah.
And then we'd be in the same situation we're in now. But if we could get Joe Manchin to leave the Democrat Party.
Wow. Yeah.
And then even if he wants to be an independent and caucus with the Republicans, guess what? Guess who's got the Senate? We do.
See, I actually commented about that this morning. If Joe Manchin wants to really show his true colors, he should just leave and do the same thing that she did.
And being from West Virginia, with all the coal mining and stuff that goes on there, why would he not? Why would he not make his constituents in West Virginia hold a coal mining super party when he finds out that he's going to caucus with the Republicans and give the Republicans the one seat advantage.
Well, the problem with Joe Manchin right now is he voted for the Inflation Reduction Act, which include was chock full, we find out, of climate change bills, climate change details. So that's going to hurt his state. That's going to hurt his constituency. So I don't know. He may not even survive that if they really push that.
Well, then, you know, I mean, if you can't stand up for your own state's economy, why are you even there?
Yeah.
As a Democrat, right? So anyway, so Kyrsten Sinema has left the Democrat Party. I was so happy to hear that this morning because I thought there might have been a little edge for us to get the Senate back. But I think I'm just wishful thinking.
I think bottom line is the best thing we can hope for is it gives just an additional bad look on the Democrat Party, Vic.
Well, that's what they deserve
because
they're a bad look and they're terrible people. And have I mentioned I hated them?
And you know they lie, don't you?
They do. What are they?
A lot. They're liars.
They are liars.
They do.
There's a lot to think about, you know? I mean, how could she stay with a party that's sending people into the ladies' room to harass her while she's trying to go to the bathroom?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't have a square to spare. That's a Seinfeld reference here. Everyone?
Yeah. I got it.
Okay. Move on, Vic, is what Ken's saying. Next hour, Susie Moore, Deputy Managing Editor of Red State. Paul Cook, host of Paul Cook Talks. And the Wheel of Audio Clips always rounds out our working week. 5 minutes out for news, and then we're back. Friday edition on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
Whoosh.
My brothers and sisters.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.